Hi everyone, today's parak of Rambam is the 16th chapter of Hilchos Machlokes Asuros. In this parak, the Rambam continues his discussion from the previous parak regarding substances which are forbidden and permitted that become mixed together. Halacha Aleph. Kol ha-shirim ha-ilu sh'neinu chacham l'dabar ha-asr, sh'nes ar b'mino ha-mutter. B'shelo haya ha-dabar ha-asr, mechameitz o metabel o dabar chashav shu omeit kamo shu v'lonus ar b'ninba b'dabar ha-mutter. With regards to all the numbers, the amounts given in the previous parak, that Chazal had said will nullify a forbidden item mixed with a permitted item of the same type. That was all assuming that the forbidden item was not something which was able to leaven other things, or was a type of spice, or was something which is significant enough on its own when it's not mixed with anything else and without being blended with that permitted item. However, aval im haya mechamit o metabel davar chashuv osur b'kol shu. If it was one of these three, it was a leavening agent or a type of spice or something which is very important on its own, so then even a tiny drop of it will cause the mixture to become forbidden. Halacha Beis, Ketzad, I'm going to illustrate further. Se'or shalchitin shal truma, shenafal letoch isa shchitin shal chulin, v'yesh bo kedei lechametz, hari isa kula meduma. If a little bit of leaven of wheat from truma falls into the dough of mundane wheat, even though there's only a tiny drop of it there, as long as there was enough that it was able to cause the leavening to occur, so then the entire bread that's made is going to be considered a mixture of truma and chulin. Thus, it would be forbidden for a non-going to eat. V'chein tavlin shel truma shenafal l'kderas chulin, v'yesh pen kedei l'tavo, v'hein mimin ha-chulin hako meduma. Similarly, with regards to a spice that was truma, that had fallen into a pot filled with mundane food, and there was enough that that spice was able to end up successfully spicing the food, in that circumstance as well, then it will not be nullified, and the entire pot is going to be considered something which is a mixture. This is even though the yeast or the spice might be one in a thousand. The same thing applies as well if we're dealing with yeast that had come from a mixture forbidden in a vineyard, or if we were dealing with a spice that was in its first 3 years growth of Orla. So if these fall into a pot as well, the entire thing will be forbidden to benefit from. Halacha Gimel. Davar chashuv shu osur b'mino b'chol shu shiva dvarim b'elohim. Rambam now clarifies, with regards to these very significant entities that were listed beforehand, there are seven that, with just one bit of them being mixed in to their same type of species, then it will forbid the entire thing. These are the seven. Egoze perech, v'rimon evdan, v'chavios stumos, v'chavos drudin, v'kilche kruv, v'dolas yivanis, kikaros shabalabais. Some of them we might not know exactly what it's referring to, but they are nuts from a place called perach, pomegranates from a place called baden, sealed barrels, beet shoots, cabbage heads, Greek squash, and loaves of bread that were baked by a person who's an individual, not somebody who's a baker. Halacha dalet, ketza, that I'm now illustrate further, Rimon echad mi rimoni b'dan, shaya arla, nes ari b'kama alafen rimonim hakol asur b'hana. If there was one of these special type of pomegranates that came from this place of Badan, that was orla, and was mixed with thousands of other pomegranates, so then it's forbidden to benefit from that entire mixture. V'chein chavis stuma shal yayin orla, o shal kalaya kerem, nes ari b'kama alafen chavios stumos hakol asurim b'hana. And so too, with a barrel that was sealed of Orla wine or Kilaya Karam wine that was mixed with thousands of other sealed barrels of regular permitted wine, then they all become forbidden to benefit from. V'chein shar ha-shiva dvar. And so too with these other seven types. Halacha hei. V'chein chaticha shal nevela, o shal basar behema, o chaya, o ov, o dag ha-tmein, shenis arva b'kama lafim chatichos, hakol asar, anshag bia osa chaticha. Similarly, with regards to a piece of meat of a nevela, or some non-kosher species of animal, or domesticated, undomesticated bird, or fish, animals. So then, if they become mixed even with thousands of other pieces of kosher meat, all of them are forbidden until you remove one piece of meat. And then the rest, you can evaluate in the 60-to-1 ratio. Shem lo higbia, because if you were not to remove one, haryadavar asr omeid, because the forbidden item is still standing present there, v'lo nishtana, and it hasn't changed, v'chaticha chashuva etzlo, and since that single piece is something which is significant to you, shari mischavid balifnei orchin, since you would be willing to gain honor through it by serving it to your guests, so then it is something which is not going to be nullified. Halacha Vav. V'hua din mechaticha shel basar b'chalav, o shel chulin sheneshchatu ba'azar, sh'harehin asur medivrayim b'hana, k'mo sh'isvar b'chol shchita, oksur mechol shehen, ad shegubi osar. So too, with regards to a cut of meat that had been mixed with milk, or with a cut of meat that had come from an animal which was not sanctified, yet had nonetheless been slaughtered inside of the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, which is forbidden to benefit from on a rabbinic level, as Rambam will explain elsewhere. So, in these circumstances as well, they will forbid even with a small amount of them until one removes their amount from the mixture. V'chein gid ha'nasha sh'nespash l'magidin o'm basar b'smaj makiro magbio v'ashar mutter sh'ei magidin no zintam. So too, with the gid ha'nasha, the sciatic nerve which is forbidden to consume, that was cooked along with other nerves, other sinews, or with meat, at a time when you recognize it and you can see it, so you can remove it, and then the rest is actually permitted in that case because it doesn't actually impart taste. But if you don't recognize it and thus can't remove it, hakol aser, so then all of it's forbidden. Because in that case, if you don't recognize it, all of it will be forbidden because since it stands on its own, it's its own entity, it's singular and significant, so then it forbids even with a small amount of it. Halacha Zayin. V'chein kol bali chayim chashuv mehein ve'ein v'talin. And similarly, all living creatures are considered significant in this sense, and therefore are not nullified if they get mixed with others of their type. Lefikach, shoran diskosh nes'ar be'elef shvarim, ve'egla rufa be'elef eglos, otzifur mitzora shkuta be'elef tziporim, o petr chamor be'elef chamorim, kulan asurim behana. Accordingly, if various types of forbidden to consume animals, such as an ox which is condemned to death by stoning, or a young calf, which is involved in the procedure we have regarding an unsolved murder, or the bird which is to be slaughtered in the process of purification of a mitzorah, or the firstborn donkey, which stands to be redeemed. So all of these, if they get mixed with their equivalent, but ones that are permitted to be eaten, so in those circumstances, they are all forbidden to benefit from. However, with regards to everything else, even though it might normally be sold based off of number, in other words, they're significant in that you count them and each number matters, nonetheless, they can be nullified each according to the regular measure. Halachas Ketat, the Rambam is now going to illustrate. Agudus Yorek Miklaya Kerem, Shnis Arva Vimasayim Agudus. Esrog Shel Orla, Shnis Arva Vimasayim Esrogim. Hakom Mutter, Vrein Kokiot Bezeh. If you have a bundle of certain vegetables that come from Kilaya Kerem that are mixed with 200 regular bundles, or you have an esrog of orla, which is mixed with 200 regular esrogim, so in that case, the entire mixture is going to be permitted, and the same applies in all similar situations. Halacha Tes. Yira li shekol davar shehu chashav etel bnei makom enam kamos, kegon egozei perach, v'rimani bedan, v'eretz yisrael bozo nizmanim, shehu ozer b'chol shehu lefi chashivuso bozo makom bozo zman, v'lo huz kru elu el lefi shehen osrin kol shehen b'chol makom, v'uadin l'chol kiyot behen b'shar makomos. Rambam now notes that it appears to him that any item which is considered significant by a certain people in a certain location, such as these items, as these type of nuts from Perach and these pomegranates from Baden were significant in the land of Israel back in the days of the Mishnah and the Gemara, so then they too will cause anything that they get mixed into to be forbidden, even with just a small amount of them, because ultimately it is significant to the people in that time, in that place. And the items that have been mentioned, these seven, were significant simply because they are going to be forbidden in all places. And the same applies, though, with other things in other places. And this is something which the Rambam notes is very clearly only going to be prohibited on a rabbinic level. Halacha Yud. Naval rimon echad mena tarovas hazos, the shnei rimonim acherim rimonim dan. Vinafam mena shlosha rimon echad rimonim acherim, harelu acherim mutarim, shere harimon shel tarovas harishona bato barov. If one pomegranate from this forbidden mixture, a mixture of regular pomegranates and forbidden badan pomegranates, falls into two other pomegranates from this type of non-nullifiable pomegranates, the pomegranates of badan, and then one of those three falls into other pomegranates, in that circumstance, all of those in the later mixture are going to be permitted because the pomegranate that had come from the initial mixture has now been nullified in a majority of permitted substances. However, v'im nafal min atrovas harishona rimon le'elef kulan asurin. If, however, one of the original forbidden mixture of pomegranates were to fall into 1,000 even, nonetheless, they will all become forbidden. Why? Lo namar batal barov ela hater sveik sveik kan. She'im yipo min atrovas ha'shniya l'makom acher eino osur. V'chein kol kiyot b'zeh. Because the only reason why this rule of nullifying it in a majority of permitted substances was able to be applied was because there was a doubt of a doubt. It was in the forbidden mixture, which had fallen into a second mixture, and from that second mixture, it had fallen into this third pile. So now there was a doubt whether the forbidden one had left from the first one, and now whether it had left from the second one, even if it had been the forbidden one from the first one. And therefore, we can be lenient. But otherwise, we would not. And the same applies in all similar situations. Halacha Yud Aleph. Nispatu egozim elu shenasru kulan mibnei egoz arla shebenehen o nisparu harimonim nispapchu hechavios nitchatchu hadluin nisparsu hakikaros achar shenasru harei elu yalu be'echad umasayim. If, in any of the circumstances that have been outlined above, these various items become broken open, the nuts are cracked, the pomegranates are ripped apart, the barrels are open, the squash was cut, the bread was sliced. In all these circumstances, once they were forbidden, so now they can be nullified when there is 201 total its value. V'hu adin l'chatichas nevela shenidocha b'chol hachitichos v'nasa kol k'moshi ola b'shishim. And so too as well, with regards to a piece of meat, which was forbidden, that was cut up then with lots of other pieces of meat, and then we can also say that it'll be nullified if there's 60 times its amount. Halacha Yud Beis. V'asr l'ptsoah ha'gozim, l'fire ha'yirmonim, l'ptoah ha'chavios, achar shenesru, k'dei she'alu be'echadu masayim, she'im valen isr l'chachila. Now, it is forbidden for one to do this on purpose, to crack open those nuts, to take apart the pomegranates, to open the barrels, once they become forbidden in a mixture. So that way, you'll be able to nullify them with 201 times the amount. Because, as Rav has already taught us in the previous parak, one is not allowed to nullify something which has become forbidden on purpose. V'im asa kein, konsen oso, v'osren alav, k'moshi b'yarnu. And if one transgresses and does this nonetheless, so then we penalize him, as the Rambam has already explained, and make it forbidden to him. Halacha Yud Gimel. So orsho kilaya kerem mishal truma, shenafu l'tocha isa. Lo bezeh k'dei l'chameitz, lo bezeh k'dei l'chameitz. U'shneim k'dei starfu, yish pehem k'dei l'chameitz. Osa isa asur l'Yisrael, muteres l'kohanim. If there is yeast that was forbidden because it was from kilaya kerem, and there is some yeast which is forbidden for a regular member of Klal Yisrael to eat because it was from truma, that had together fallen into a dough. And neither one on its own would have had the ability to make the dough leaven, but between the two of them, they do have the ability to make it leaven. In that circumstance, that dough is forbidden for a regular member of Klal Yisrael to eat, because either way you look at it, it is forbidden, but is permitted for Kohanim to consume. V'chein tavlin shel truma v'shel kilaya kerem shenaflu l'tocha gdira. V'lo v'echem mehem kedei l'tabel u'v'shneim kedei l'tabel. Osa gdira asur l'Yisrael sh'rei davar asur lehem tibla. Muteres l'kohanim. Similarly, with regard to a spice, one of which was truma, one of which was kilaya kerem, that had together fallen into a pot, and neither one had the capacity to properly spice this on their own, but together they do. So then that dish will be forbidden to a regular member of Klal Yisrael, since one way or the other, something which was forbidden for them had spiced it, but for Kohanim it is permitted. Halacha Yud Dalet. Talan sheim shnaim o shlusha shemios min echad, o shlusha min mishim echad, mitztarfen l'taba v'lesar v'chein l'chameitz. A spice which is either two or three different types from the same species, or three species from one overall term, these are able to join together in order to spice and to make something forbidden, and also with regards to leavening. Okay, so I'm going to explain what that means. So'or shel chitin u'so'or shel so'orim ho b'shem so'or echad hu, einon k'min v'she'eno mino. If you have a mixture of yeast that came from wheat and yeast that came from barley, since they are both broadly referred to as yeast, so then it's not like these count as two different species, as one type that had mixed with another type. Ella, hare hen kamin echad, umin starif l'shar behen k'dei l'chametz b'isa shel chitin im hayatam shneim shel tam chitin, o k'dei l'chametz b'isa shel s'orin im hayatam shneim tam s'orin. Rather, they count as one same species, one type, and are able to join together, therefore, for us to estimate whether or not they have the capacity to cause dough of wheat to be leavened if they both have the taste of wheat, or whether they have the capacity to have dough of barley become leaven if they have both the taste of barley. Halacha Tezvav. Shlosha Shemos Mimin Echad Keita. Now, what do we mean by three species that are of the same type. Kagon karpas shel naharos, v'karpas shel afar, v'karpas shel gina, af pisha kol efen mehen shem b'fnei atzmo, hov hein min echad, mitzarfen l'tabo. For example, let's say we're dealing with parsley, and we have river parsley, and parsley that's meadow parsley, and parsley that's garden parsley. So each one of these has its own distinct name to it. But since they're all the same species, they can combine together and therefore count as having the capacity to spice something as one unit. Halacha tezbav. Isa mechumetes, shenofal letochas, or shel truma, o or shel kilaya kerem. V'chein kadeir mutubeles, shenofal letocha talen shel truma, o shel orla v'shel kilaya kerem. Im yishpas or kadeir lechameit, ilu haisa isa matza, v'tavlen kadeir letabel akdeira, ilu haisa tefela, haria kol aser. If you have yeast that had truma status or kilaya karam status fall into a dough that was already input with yeast, or similarly a pot, which was already input with spice, that then some spice of truma or orla or kilaya karam would fall into it. In those circumstances, if that leaven or that spice had the capacity, were this item not to have already had leaven input or already have spice input to it, to on their own leaven or on their own spice it, so then the entire mixture is going to be forbidden. If not, though, in other words, though they were already leavened and spiced, this on its own would not have been able to leaven and spice it were it not to have been. So in that circumstance, then we simply have them nullify it based off of what the regular standards are. For truma, 101 times the amount of that which is forbidden, and with regards to kilaya karam or orla, 201 times the amount that was forbidden. Halacha yud zayin. Ha truma mal es orla ves kilaya karam. Truma is able to help work towards the nullification of orla and kilaya karam. Ketzad, the Rambam is going to illustrate. Sa truma shenafal letisha betishim chulin. V'achakach nafal lechol chati sa shel orla o shel kilaya karam. Ein kan iser orla v'lo iser kilaya karam. Shri ala v'echad ha-masayim. V'afal pi shemixas ha-masayim truma. For example, if you had one unit of truma fall into 99 units of regular produce, and then afterwards half a unit of orla or of kilaya karam falls into that overall mixture, so then in that circumstance there's no problem of orla or kilaya karam, because it's ultimately been nullified because there's something that's 201 times the size of that forbidden aspect, even though part of that 201 is truma. Halacha yud ches. V'chein orla v'kilaya karam malan satruma. And similarly, orla and kilaya karam can work towards nullifying truma. Ketzad, I'm going to now illustrate this. Me'as shel orla o shel kilaya karam shenaflu l'tov esrim elef shel chulin na'aseis kol ha'tarovas esrim elef u'me'a v'achakach nafal l'chol me'a sa shel truma hari ha'kol mutar v'tala truma v'echad u'me'a. Let's say you had 100 units of orla or kilaya karam that fell into 20,000 units of regular produce. So thus, the entire mixture is going to be 20,100 units. And then afterwards, one unit of truma fell into every 100 units. So then that entire mixture, that whole conglomerate, is going to be permitted, because the truma will be nullified due to the fact that there's 101 times the original amount of that truma there. And that's even though part of the 100, which is nullifying it, is orla or kilaya karam. Halacha yud tes. V'chena orla malas kilaya karam. V'kilaya karam es orla. V'kilaya karam es kilaya karam. V'orla es orla. And so too, orla is able to work towards nullifying kilaya karam. And the reverse is true as well. Kilaya karam can work towards nullifying orla. And even kilaya karam can work towards nullifying other kilaya karam, and orla can work towards nullifying other orla. Ketzad, I'm going to now illustrate this. Masayim sash orla o shkilaya karam shenafal arbaim elef chulin. V'achakach nafal l'chol masayim sah usah shel orla o shel kilaya karam hakom mutar. Shekema shebatal l'isher shenafal t'chila na'asa kol k'chulin hamutar. For example, you have 200 units of orla or kilaya karam that falls into 40,000 units of regular produce. And then afterwards, one unit of, again, either orla or kilaya karam falls into each of those 200 units of the mixture. So then all of it is going to be permitted. And that's because the substances, which were already nullified in that first bout, will be able to work towards nullifying the rest of them because they've already been considered like something which is permitted. Halacha chaf. Beged tzvo b'klipei arla yisari. If a garment has been dyed using the shells of fruit of arla, in that circumstance, the garment needs to be burned. Is arivah cherem yalev echad masayim. If this garment gets mixed with others, in that circumstance, it will be nullified if there's 201 opposite it. V'chein tavshil shebishlo b'klipei arla, upash afa b'klipei arla, upiklai akerem, yisari v'tavshil v'apas. Similarly, with regards to a dish that had been cooked with using as its fuel the shells of fruit of arla, or bread that had been cooked in a similar fashion, or with kilai hakerem as the fuel, in that case, the dish and the bread must be burned. Sharei hanaso nikarespen, because ultimately you can still see it's recognizable the benefit which has happened. His arubacher yalu b'echad masayim. And if this bread or this dish gets mixed together with other items that are similar, then they will be nullified when there's 201 times the original amount. Halacha chaf aleph. V'chein beged sh'agra bo melo ha'sit sh'tzvo ba'arla v'ein adua ezehu yalu b'echad masayim. And so too a garment that had two thumbs breadths of it dyed with arla dye, in that circumstance, if we don't know which that part is, then it's able to be nullified if there's 201 opposite. This arvu b'samani arla b'samani heter yalu b'echad masayim. Meit zeva yibatel barov. If powdered dye of arla becomes mixed with powdered dye of non-arla, so then it's going to be permitted if there's 201 opposite the arla amount. And if it's already in liquid form, liquid dye of arla that gets mixed with regular liquid dye, so then it'll be nullified once there's a majority of the permitted dye. Halacha chaf beis. Taner shehiziku b'klipei arla b'klei hakerem bein chadash bein yashan yutzan v'achar kach yichem oso b'atzei heter. If an oven had been fueled using as fuel shells from arla u'klei hakerem, whether the oven was a new oven or an old oven, so it should be left to cool down, and then afterwards you can heat it up once again using regular fuel. V'im bishol bo kodem sheyutzan bein pas bein tavshil hariz aser b'hana. If, however, one had cooked or baked within that oven before it had cooled down, so then that dish is going to be forbidden to benefit from. Yeshvach atzi iser b'pas o b'tavshil, because we say that there is benefit from that forbidden fuel input into the bread or the dish. Garf es kola ish v'achakach bishelo afa b'chumo shotanor harizem mutter sharei atzi iser hovlehen. If, however, one had removed the entire fire and then only afterwards, using the heat remaining in the oven, cooked or baked that dish, in that circumstance, then it will be permitted because the actual fuel which was forbidden has left. Lachav gimel. Karos v'kosos u'kderos u'tzlochios shebishlan hayotzer b'klipei arla harei ilu asurin b'hana shrei davar asur b'hana asa osan chadash. If one has plates or cups or pots or bottles that have been created by the potter in the first place using a fire fueled from shells of orla, so then they are going to be forbidden to benefit from as well, because they were made anew by something which was forbidden to benefit from. Halachav dalet. Pasha bishla agabi gecholim shel atzei arla muteres. Bread which has been baked using coals made from the wood of arla, that is going to be permitted. Kamesh nasu gecholim halach isurin afal pishein bo'aros. Because once they have turned to coals, then the forbidden component is no longer considered present, and that's even though they are still burning, they're still aflame. Kidera shebishel osab b'klipei arla b'klei hakerem u'ba'atzei heter harei hatav shel aser. If a pot had been cooked using both, on one hand, either the shells orla or klei hakerem, and on the other hand, normal fuel, in that circumstance, then the dish is going to be forbidden. V'aval pi shezev zeh goreh. This is even though both of them had contributed towards it. Because at the time when they begun to be cooked by the forbidden fuel, so the permitted fuel had not yet been brought. And thus, part of that process of cooking was performed with that which was permitted and that which was forbidden. In a circumstance where there's a sapling of arla that gets mixed, in other words, we don't know which one it is amongst other saplings, or one row of kilai karam amongst other rows. In that circumstance, hariza lokei l'chadchila menakol. One should first pick from all of it. Vim haisa netiya b'masayim netiyos, v'arugum b'masayim arugos, haraya kol ha'nokan mutter. V'ami v'pachos mizeh, kol ha'nokan aser. If the planted sapling, or the planted row, which was forbidden, was opposite 200 of permitted ones, so then all that which is gathered will be permitted. If it was less than that amount, then all that was gathered was forbidden. Now, why is one allowed to collect all this ideally? And by logic, we would have thought we should have forbidden all of it until the fellow has gone ahead and busied himself, bothered himself to the point where he roots out that which is forbidden. Because our assumption is that a person won't willingly go and plant this item here, knowing it will ruin his entire vineyard, his entire field. And if he were able to say which one it was, he would have gone ahead and removed it. If somebody solidifies cheese using either the syrup or something of that sort from some type of arla fruit, which wasn't fully ripened, or from the lining of an animal's stomach, which, as we've mentioned in the past, has enzymes which is able to cause milk to become cheese, of an animal which had been offered to idolatry, or from vinegar, from wine, which had been offered to idolatry. So in those circumstances, even though it might be only a tiny amount of that forbidden substance present, and even though it's mixed with something which is not the same type as it, nonetheless, it will be forbidden, because here it's very noticeable what is forbidden. It's what had caused this to become cheese in the first place, and therefore it remains forbidden. Halacha Chav Zayin. Ha'arla v'kilaya kerem dinat peiru shalhen sheyisarfu. Hamashkin shalhen yikavru. Mivnei she'yefshar lishrov hamashkin. With regards to the fruit of arla or kilaya kerem, the halacha is that they should be burned. But regarding any liquid from these fruit, so those should be buried, because it's impossible to burn liquid. Halacha Chav Ches. Yayin shenis nasek avodus kavim. Shenis arim ima yayin hakol asur b'hana b'chol shu kemosher amarim. Wine that had been liberated to idolatry, that was mixed with regular wine, all of it becomes forbidden to benefit from, as the Ram has already explained, even with just a tiny amount. When is that true, though? This is if the permitted wine was poured onto the forbidden wine. If, however, one poured that forbidden libated wine from a small bottle into a large cistern of regular permitted wine, even if one pours all day long, each initial drop that falls in is going to be nullified. Era min ha-chavis bein era min ha-mutter la-asr, o min ha-asr la-mutter, ha-kol asr, b'nei sha-amad ha-yored mipi ha-chavis gadol. However, if one pours from a large barrel, rather than a small bottle, as just described, drop by drop, but rather you pour a large amount at once, whether it's from the forbidden to the permitted, all of it will be forbidden still in this case as well, because it is such a large amount being poured, and it will create a connection between the two of them. It's not a single drop, but rather a stream. And as we've seen, a stream can connect the upper one and the lower one and forbid even the upper one. If regular wine of a non-Jew gets mixed with normal wine of ours, in that circumstance, all of it is forbidden, even with a small amount, with regard to drinking. But you are allowed to sell all of it to a non-Jew. And then from that which you have received, opposite amount of the wine that was forbidden that had been mixed in, you must throw away. So let's say one third of it was forbidden wine, so you must throw away one third of the money, and the rest of it you are allowed to benefit from. Similarly, if a barrel of libated wine gets mixed amongst other barrels, all of them are forbidden to drink, and they are permitted to benefit from. And you should take the value opposite that one barrel to the Dead Sea, in other words, again, throw it away, after you've sold them all to a non-Jew. And so too with a barrel of regular wine. The whole point here is to make sure that you don't actually benefit from that forbidden substance. If water mixed with wine, or wine mixed with water, so then, as long as you can still taste that which is forbidden, then it will be a problem, because this is something which is one species with another species. This is if the permitted substance fell into the forbidden substance. However, if the forbidden substance fell into the permitted substance, so then each initial drop is going to be nullified. This is, as we just saw above, where you pour from a small bottle, where it goes drip by drip. Now, you might wonder, how could it be possible for water to be forbidden? So it illustrates, for example, if it had been worshipped itself as idolatry somehow, or it had been offered up to idolatry. Halacha Lamed Aleph. Bor shel yayin shenafal letocho kiton shamayim techila, v'achar kach nafal letocho yayin nesech, rom es yayin heter, hilu eno, v'amayim shenafalu misharim behen im yayin nesech. Imruin levatel tam oso yayin nesech, harimayim rabin alav, mevatel oso, via kol mutter. If one has a pitcher of water fall into a large vat of wine, and then afterwards, wine that had been libated and thus is forbidden falls into it. In that circumstance, we ignore the permitted wine for the time being, and we view only the water opposite the forbidden wine. If there's enough water that would have nullified the taste of the forbidden wine, so then we allow the water, so to speak, to do so, and it nullifies the forbidden wine, and thus the entire mixture is permitted. If libated wine, forbidden wine, falls onto grapes, so you simply wash them off and then they are permitted to eat. If they had already been cracked open grapes, so then if the wine is going to input flavor to them, then they will be forbidden to benefit from, and if it doesn't, then it's permitted. And that's true whether the wine that we're dealing with is old wine or new wine. Halach Lamed Gimel. Nafal al gabei te'enim, har elu mutaros, v'meisha yayin pogeim b'tam ha'te'enim. If they had fallen to figs, however, even if the figs are cracked open, it's not going to be a problem. It's permitted to still consume them, because wine ruins the taste of figs. Halach Lamed Dalet. Yayin nesach shenafal al chitim, har elu asuros b'achila mutaros b'ana. If wine that had been libated falls onto wheat, so the wheat will be forbidden to eat, but it still is permitted to sell and benefit from. However, you shouldn't sell that wheat to a non-Jew, because he might go back and sell them to a Jew. So what should you do? Rather, you should grind up the wheat, make bread from it, sell that to a non-Jew, but not in the presence of a regular Jew who might then rely on the fact that you had sold it to a non-Jew and think that it's good. So don't do it in the presence of a Jew, because then you don't have to worry that a Jew will buy it from this non-Jew, because bread of a non-Jew is forbidden, as the Rambam will explain. Why can't we just check the wheat, as we would with other things, whether or not there's any detected taste of the wine? Because ultimately, wheat draws out the wine and has it become absorbed within it, and thus we aren't comfortable relying on the taste. Halach Lamed Hei, the final halach on the parak. Yayin nesach shehechmetz benafal leto chometz sheichar, oser b'cholshu, b'nei shehu b'mino sheshnein chometz hein. If libated wine goes bad and becomes vinegar, and then that falls into vinegar that was made not from wine, but from beer that was permitted, in that circumstance, it has made it forbidden even with a tiny amount, because this is considered to be the same type, since both of them are referred to as vinegar. With regards to wine that was mixed with vinegar, if the wine had fallen to the vinegar, or the vinegar had fallen to the wine, regardless, we will decide whether it will be nullified based on whether or not taste is imparted. These are viewed as two different types. Have a wonderful day.